Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome again to a new episode of People, Places, and Perspectives. I'm your host, Maria Edwards. How are you doing? How has your week been? Thank God it's Friday. Yes, it's the end of another week. As a matter of fact, it's the end of the month of March, March 31st. Tomorrow is April 1st, the beginning of another month. I hope this is a good month for you. I hope you were able to get some things done that you were able, you know, you were not able to accomplish last month, but you're able to get them done this month. And I hope you're having a good Friday. Yeah, I hope you're having a good Friday. I say a happy and a blessed Friday evening to you. How are you doing? How are you doing? I'm doing well. Been a while, but I'm here and we're ready to roll. So on today's program, we're going to talk a little bit about politics and religion. And it doesn't matter where in the world you are, especially in the West, politics and religion and politics have intertwined a lot. As a matter of fact, especially in America, where, you know, the Constitution does allow for separation of church and state, there seems to have been, in the past couple of decades, a blurring of those lines. But we're not going to talk today about the blurring of the lines, but to look in general at countries where religion and politics intersect, and especially in predominantly religious societies, how has that impacted the societies, and how, you know, really, how is it working? Because if we should look at America, it's a conservative society, especially in the Bible Belt down in the South, you know, Tennessee, the Floridas, Georgia, that's the Bible Belt. In a country like Jamaica, I think they hold the Guinness Book of World Records for the most churches per square mile in the world. Yet when you look at the society, there is a breakdown, you know, some sort of moral decay that is taking place. You look at the American society as well, and you can see a breakdown in, you know, social justice issues. You can see equality, education, issues that you think would concern the person who is religious if their beliefs are based in, you know, the teachings, say, for example, those who are Christians whose teachings are based on the Bible. But the American society, and the Caribbean society, basically have so many different religious sects. But Islam, Judaism, and Christianity are the most predominant, you know, of all the various religious sects that they are. But it is not that I am against religious beliefs. As a matter of fact, I'm a person of faith, and I'm proud to say so. But I wonder at times, when I look at the state of various societies, how it has worked out, how it's working, you know, because it's not just a religious practice, you know, one's faith, but religious fanaticism, you know, religious dogma seems to be playing more of a prominent role in our politics today. We need both. We need politics. We need political leaders because, you know, they draft legislation that govern countries that, you know, govern the different countries that you have elected leaders of. They come up with legislation based on need. Well, that's what they're supposed to do, to benefit the people, the masses, those who are suffering, those who are in need. You know, that's what's supposed to be. And if we're to look at Christianity, Judaism as well, and I would dare to say Islam, they also teach about helping the least amongst us. But there seems to be, you know, something lost when it comes to political structures putting in place or drafting legislation that benefits the poor, the needy, the otherwise abled, the undereducated, you know, those who are marginalized. They seem to have legislations that really put them in harm's way more than help them. Take, for example, when you look at the poor in many societies, they are struggling, yet you have all these churches, that's the political thing, you know, the political structure that says we will do so much and no more for those who are, you know, in most in need. And then you have the religious structure, which says to the poor and the needy, give to us. Give to us the church. And I like when they say, how can you rob God? And I'm yet to see a bank with God's name on it, you know? And they say, how can you rob God and give to their church? And you give to the church, and many of these churches are in predominantly poor neighborhoods. And you look at these neighborhoods that they're taking, these, you know, these religious structures, these churches are taking so much from. And you ask the question, how much are they giving back? Because you don't, it's not reflected in the communities that they represent, but their lives, the lives of the religious leaders, tells a different story, because they're more affluent. They live lives 100, 1,000 times better than the people that fill their pews on a Sunday. And it begs the question, what is the role of religion in any society if it is not to hold the political leaders accountable, and if it's not to have the political leaders care enough about the people? Then what then? What then is the role of religion in society? Both are important. Both play necessary roles. But if there's a blurring of the line where religious leaders have so lost their moral compass that they cannot see their role as being the gatekeepers of goodness, the gatekeepers of righteousness, the gatekeepers of justice, social justice, economic justice, what then? You know, how then can they be taken seriously? And as a matter of fact, recently he said that as the years go by, in the last, I guess, 5-10 years, the church numbers have been dwindling. You know, less and less people are going to church because of how they see the church's role, how they see religion playing out in their local communities, in, you know, on a wider scale, and in society, wider world in general, how you see religion playing out. Because I was on another program last week, I think it's Wayne Lonesome's program, but we were talking about the fact that Jamaica has more churches per square mile than any other country in the world, yet the violence is rampant. The place is overrun with violence. You ask, where are the church leaders? What are the churches doing to bring the young people in? And most of the violence that is being that is taking place is being carried out by young people between the ages of, say, 18 and 25. So who is reaching these young people? Because I remember there was a time when the church, you know, when the world wasn't as advanced as it is right now, but the church's role was more, the church was more involved in the development, in the holistic development of the community. It wasn't so much involved in the political aspect of the community's development, or the political structures and how they were operating, even though they were more willing then to hold them accountable. But they played a greater role in the community and in the lives of the, you know, of people. And there was an investment in young people and how, you know, to raise up young people and to have them be a part of the social and economic structure of their society. But we see, we have a situation where that seems not to be the case, you know, and you can give me a call and give me, share your thoughts with me at 319-527-6084. This is People, Places, and Perspective, and I'm your host, Maria Edwards. Yes, and we are talking about politics and religion. Religion is supposed to promote, you know, values, social justice, environmental justice, because if you take, for example, Christianity, that's a faith that I'm most familiar with, the Bible teaches about the protection of the poor, you know, feeding the poor, taking care of the sick, providing clothes for the, you know, feeding the hungry, taking care of the sick, providing, you know, raiment for the naked, and all those things that should encompass being a good person of faith, a religious person. But the insertion of fanaticism has, and, you know, everybody wanting to be right and making their faith the right faith, or their church the right church, or you got to go to this church, my church is the right church, the other person's church is the wrong church, and I'm preaching the right thing, that creates a bigger problem than it is solving. When you look at education, for example, in America, in many schools, prayer is not allowed in schools, and there's nothing wrong with that, because especially in public schools, I should say, in public schools, because private schools that are religious, like Catholic schools and other Christian schools, one is Jewish schools as well, one is free to practice their faith and pray and do all of that. But in public schools, that is not allowed. And that's understandable. But what I find is that there is a disconnect. There is a disconnect between the church's role in empowering, facilitating nation building through caring for the community. There is a serious disconnect between all of that and politics, because the religion is intertwined with the politics, and politicians are, you know, religious fanaticism take their cue from politics. Politicians are taking their cue from religious fanatics. And so you cannot get anything done that benefits the masses. It's always on some fringe element. The fringe elements, their voices are so loud that they seem more to be heard than the voices in the middle that call for, you know, some reason, some caring, and some understanding. So it asks the question, I asked the question about, you know, how is it working? How, you know, the combination of religion and politics. We need them both. We absolutely need them both. But we need them to function in a way that's effective. Yes, there can be a separation of church and state, which means the government cannot make any law, you know, in favor of one church or another. They cannot impose that. But why is that imposed? You know, why do some people feel the need to impose their beliefs and others? And that is where we have a problem with religion being inserted into politics, because then it's people's personal beliefs that are now being legislated and not law. And, you know, and based on each situation that presents itself in terms of how you legislate to take care of the poor, the needy, how you legislate to take care of the environment, all those things that are needed to build a better and a more robust society. Because when you look at the struggle of the poor people fill up more churches than any other group of people. And yet their communities are the most run down. You go into any church that is overrun, any community, sorry, that is overrun with churches right now, what you find is that the communities are dilapidated. The communities have a serious crime and violence problem. The community has a problem with social justice or injustice, has problems with equality, has problems with education, has problems with health care. How so? How so? Where are the voices of the church leaders, the religious leaders, who should be calling for and protecting the rights of the people within the communities that they benefit from their offerings and their tithes, but who need social services? Where are the voices of these religious people to stand up to politicians who impose strict legislation on communities that are marginalized, on communities that need assistance, on communities that are poor? Where are the voices of those people? Where are the voices of those religious leaders speaking out against racial injustice? Where are the voices of those people? Because those voices of reason need to be a part of the political discourse, not preaching who they should vote for, not preaching and imposing their beliefs on anyone, but be a part of the discourse to make sure that the legislation, whatever legislation they are crafting, takes into consideration the needs of the community, the needs of the people, not just the needs of a few, because the masses are left behind at the expense of the few. Again, this is People, Places, and Perspectives. I'm your host, Maria Edwards. You can call 319-527-6084 to share your thoughts. I believe that both religion and politics have a vital role in our society. We need religious leaders. We need political leaders as well. But we need them both to work for the benefit and the good of all, not just a few. We need them both to work in a way that uplifts, empowers, encourages, brings forth justice, where justice is not blind to some and eyes open for many. We have to understand religious and political structures honestly have been failing the people, because the religious leaders are failing their congregants, because there's so many are focused on preaching a prosperity gospel of bring hither all your gifts and give it to the church. Nothing wrong with that, because after all, the church plays a very vital role in community development. But it is one thing to ask your parishioners, your church members, to bring their best. And it's another thing to help those same parishioners when they are in need from the coffers and from the gifts that you receive so bountifully from the poor and the needy, because poor people give to the church more than any other group, the poor. Because we're all raised to give to the church and to keep the church. And I'm not against that at all. I'm not against tithing and giving your tithes and in your offering, because the church has to be, the upkeep of the church is important. But what I struggle with, the giving of so much to the church at the expense of the people in that same community who need it the most. How do we bridge that gap between religion and politics to make it work in a way that is truly beneficial to the people? How does the politicians and how do religious leaders come together in a way, work together, that best reflects the values of the people? We're not going to agree on everything, but there are many things that we can agree on and work toward. And if both groups see value in working together, then I take it that a lot of the differences that we experience, a lot of the rhetoric that we hear would not be part of the discourse at all. Why is religion, more influential in global politics? How did religion become so influential in politics? Should political leaders take their advice from religious leaders? How do we get to that place, that middle ground of understanding? Because through the decades, as a matter of fact, through the centuries, religion, organized religion, has been used to control, suppress, and oppress. For Black people, especially African Americans, they can point to how religion was used during slavery, during the civil rights era, where the slave master held the Bible in one hand, but he had a slave in the other, and it justified him owning a slave with words in the Bible. The same thing during the civil rights movement, where the preacher would not allow a Black person to worship in his white church, have the Bible in one hand, and he would go out to a lynching after service. How can we justify all the ills that many have used religion to condone? Violence has been inflicted on many in the name of religion. We look at 9/11. That was in the name of religion. And we can go throughout history. We look at anti-Semitism, especially now, Jews are saying there has been a stark increase in anti-Semitic rhetoric in the past, say, 3 years. How is it justified? Religion has been used to control women, and that's another subject we can talk about another time, especially as it relates to pro-life and pro-choice. This abortion and anti-abortion conversation. And how does one deal with the fact that the scripture dealing with the Bible says God gives each free will, yet others believe it's their right to impose their free will on other people, especially women? And so what role, if any, does religion play in our society? What role, if any, does religion have in crafting political legislation? Should religious organizations, institutions be taxed as they are here in America? Well, most societies do have churches are tax-free, religious institutions are tax-exempt. if they support a certain political view, and if they, you know, make their political views known, they're in support of a specific political view, political party, should they be taxed? That's another question as well, too. The rhetoric that comes from a lot of these religious leaders leaves many with a very bad taste. They invite judgment on themselves, even though it's only God that can judge, but they invite criticism on themselves based on their own rhetoric that is mixed in with political rhetoric. And sometimes you listen to some of these preachers, you don't know whether or not they're preaching or they're on the political campaign. How does that impact the society? The society that we want to build. We want to build a better society. We want to build a just society, an equal society. But how can that happen with religion and politics playing an important role in crafting the way forward? We're all looking for a better way. We're all looking for answers. We're all looking for answers. But from whom are these answers going to come? Who is listening? Who is listening? And can we say to our religious leaders, you know, you need to be more representative of it, speak more, represent more the needs of your parishioners, the needs of the people in your churches? Because I'm quite sure your churches are filled with people who have health issues, are unable to hold down a job because of health issues. You have people in your churches that are working less than minimum wage, yet you ask for your tithes and your offering. How do you square that with your political leaders? How do you square that with the people in your churches? How do you square your political beliefs that you're imposing on other people when the people in your churches are so in need? Again, this is People, Places, and Perspectives. A new season has begun. And as I close this episode this evening, I say to those who are religious leaders, what is your moral compass? And to those who are political leaders, why did you get involved in politics? Because politics is about being of service. So too is religion. Become a religious leader, it's about being of service. To whom are you accountable? To whom do you answer? Who are you of service to? What does service mean to you? Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Friday. And I look forward to seeing you again, speaking with you again in another episode of People, Places, and Perspective. Have a great weekend and have a wonderful new month ahead. And we'll talk again in another episode of People, Places, and Perspectives. The word is love.